I told you 5 teacups. So if you're in the car with your mom right now, that is a you problem. Welcome back to Petty Crimes, the only true crime comedy podcast that exclusively investigates
non-crimes.
I'm Kira.
And my name is Griffith.
And welcome back, guys.
Woo.
We missed ya.
We did.
What's going on in your life? What's new? What's happening?
Oh, I'm a little hungry today, Kira. And it reminds me of a few episodes ago when we were both a little hungry, one more than the other, and just trying to focus on the prize here. I didn't have my McDonald's this morning because my partner in crime isn't with me.
Well,
still.
Yeah, I know I miss you. I'm excited to be back and see you. And then it's going to be time to start gearing up for your birthday.
Oh, my God. My 30th birthday is mid-July, everyone. I'm really excited. Like, I loved my 20s. I did so much during them. And not to get all mushy-mushy when you guys want just some petty crimes, but I don't know. I feel very, very confident about turning 30. I think this next decade is going to be big for me. Yeah, bring it on, baby.
Bring it on. Yeah.
How is your show going, Kira? Like, maybe tell everyone a little bit about what the show is and your roots with it.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm an alum of the Improv Asylum main stage cast, which is like a sketch, an improv, and musical comedy cast. It's like where I put in my 10,000 hours for sure, like quite literally, you know.
Yeah.
I did thousands of shows in that basement, and now I'm back directing the next show, and it's like just a really cool full circle moment in my career, and I'm honored to be back and like working with them again.
That's so exciting. And again, if anyone is able to see Kira or anything she touches in person, I hadn't seen you perform for so long just because we were in different cities for a while, and then after quarantine you had a two-person show with your good friend and my friend.
Yeah.
Cutie patootie Zach. And I was just blown away by what you two did. Like, your training shows and you're it, girl. So anyone who can, see her in person. TikTok's great, but like, she's great in person too, guys.
I'm blushing, Griff. You're too much. You're so sweet. I'm going to be sustaining this blush for the next half an hour because today is a 5 teacup episode.
Ooh, baby.
And you don't know what that means yet, I'm just going to tell you because I can't afford for you not to know. It means that if you're listening to this podcast with somebody who is faint of heart, doesn't like scandalous topics, this crime takes place in Vegas. That's all I'll give you. And turn it off now. And if you haven't, okay, we're in it. Let's go.
Yeah. Shoo away your children. This one's for the adults.
Exactly. And Griff also has read this email because we both had to decide whether or not we wanted to do it. And we decided, let's go for it, baby.
Absolutely. I quickly I glanced over it, put it in your folder, and I was like, let's deliberate. There's the word again. But yeah, I kind of forget the details. I know the big detail, pun intended. But yeah, let's bring them on this 5 teacup journey, shall we, Kira?
Oh my God. Yes, definitely. Also, I don't know about your experience, Griff, but me personally, I'm like, I'm probably the least equipped person in the world to be deliberating and deciding upon this petty crime, which I'm like, well, then let's go for it. We're going to have opinions and they might be wrong and we'll hear from you guys, but let's just swing for the fences on this one.
I'd say that I'm pretty well equipped for this.
You're always well equipped.
Oh, baby. Okay. Oh, yeah, they're in for a ride. And by the way, everyone, Kira and I I'm in Los Angeles. Kira's recording from Boston. This is pretty cool that we're able to do this. So, yeah, welcome to the modern world where we're not even in the same city.
You wouldn't even know it.
Yeah.
You ready?
Let's go.
Okay. I'm going to read this email. I have something that you may want to take up in petty crime court involving a bachelorette party, a stripper, and a quote-unquote little smack. This is not my story, but rather a story that a friend told me. They've already changed names in this email.
Perfect.
We've got our pseudonyms, identities protected, as always. Here's the situation. We're at a bachelorette party in the city with 8 girls. Katie is our main character, there for her sister-in-law's celebration. Don't know if it matters, but it's her husband's sister. Katie, main character, there for the sister-in-law's bachelorette. During
Perfect.
The day...
So future sister-in-law, Hosting. Got it.
Yep. During the day, the girls have gone around town and done the touristy things, and they're spending the evening partying in their hotel room. Parentheses, like a spacious suite, not like a small room with just beds, TV, desk, etc. There is a circle of chairs in the living area of the hotel room, like hodgepodged and mismatched with whatever chairs are around because the gals needed to be all together, sitting down, because the party had ordered a stripper. I also Googled because I was like, I might be wrong about this. Is stripper like the term that strippers like used, talking about their own work, which I feel like is always the question, like with any job where you're like, is that what we call that someone with that job? It's like, well, what does that person like to be called? And seemingly stripper or dancer, both cool.
Okay, cool. Have you seen Hustlers with Jennifer Lopez and
That movie. Yes, I have.
I thought it was great. But yeah, I think a part of that was like showcasing that they're really talented and artists. I mean, they're dancers. So that's a really good Google. Thank you, Google, our expert witness. Yeah, so we can continue to use the word stripper and be okay.
Yes, I think
Google,
so. Stripper.
Google said it was okay.
Yeah, seemingly. And I hope it's cool. But it's also the language we have in this email. So we'll just keep going with it. Okay. The husband-to-be is a firefighter. So naturally, the gals requested that the stripper be dressed as a firefighter. The stripper arrives in his street clothes and asks to get ready in the bathroom. So far, so normal. The girls are all giggling and stuff, sitting in the circle of chairs in the room, waiting for him to come out. They're so ready to see this little firefighter, this little sexy firefighter. He comes out, and he is not dressed as a firefighter, but rather is in a G-string with a full erection.
Oh, my gosh.
I told you 5 teacups. So if you're in the car with your mom right now, that is a you problem.
If you're in the car with your mom, you were here because of an erection. So we'll just cover that.
I'm dying.
Oh, my gosh. So he comes out of the bathroom seemingly fully erect.
G-string.
G-string. Oh, my God. Oh, my gosh.
So right off the bat, we're a little caught off guard. He dances around the circle, grinds on girls. Eventually, he is completely naked. Still very. The fire hose is up. I'm not sure about your experience with house call strippers, but there doesn't seem to be a set protocol on how dressed or undressed they get and such. So yeah, totally naked. This was just a little unexpected. Any thoughts so far, Griff?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot involving the firefighter being fully erect, which I questioned for a second, but then you mentioned that he eventually got fully naked.
Right, because that's my thought, too, is like, okay, got it. So they're packed, they're covered.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, making it look like if you went to Magic Mike or something.
Exactly, for sure. And then I wrote down the word contract, but I think I'll let you finish the case, and then we'll dive into these kind of sub-points because I've got some thoughts.
Sounds good. So the girls are rolling with it. Drinking, partying, having a good time. Then the stripper leans down and whispers to Katie, who is, again, not the bachelorette.
Mm-hmm.
She's there for her sister-in-law's celebration. Which one of these girls do you think would be okay with a little smack? That's what the stripper whispers to Katie. Katie doesn't really know the group very well and just kind of quickly points a girl out, thinking he means like a playful spanking situation.
Totally.
The next thing you know, she hears an audible smack, and she looks over to see a stunned girl with the stripper standing fire hose up in front of her. He had done what you think he did.
He gave a little sausage slap.
You said it, not me.
I don't know. So he hit her with his erection.
So who is guilty here? Katie, for not thinking critically about what a little smack is and stopping this before it happened? The stripper for committing the dick slap at all? Or is no one guilty at all? And we also do have the fantastic context that the dick slap recipient, though very shocked, took it in stride, is still laughing about it to this day.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's really helpful context. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And this is what I mean. We couldn't be, at least me personally, I'm treading in the deep end on this one. I'm like, I don't know. I've got no clue. I have no idea. I don't know.
I know. Well, that's a great story. And honestly, probably one that's very common. Like, the quintessential kind of cliche act at every bachelorette and also bachelor party is to hire a stripper. We see it in the media. We hear it from our uncles and aunts. Like, it's very common. So I wonder if any of our listeners have been in a circle of this nature. Maybe they haven't been slapped with a penis, but like, this is a common space.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
And to that point, Kira, my first question for you, have you ever been in a space like this? Have you ever been in a space like this, a situation?
I have only been to strip clubs with female dancers.
Mm-hmm.
And can I say I love them?
Oh, yeah. Same. I went to Mardi Gras once, and I decided not to go to the strip club because I was so tired. I do regret that because it just would have been a fun experience. And I will always enter an establishment like that with respect. I think for me, and this kind of ties into this situation, I can't always count on other people around me showing that kind of respect that I know that I will have. And I think that's what makes situations like this so awkward, because we've got multiple people in a really heightened situation. It's like, there's a lot of vulnerability amongst everyone. Like, what the hell is going to happen here?
Yeah, people go into overdrive in all kinds of ways. Like, yeah, that's a really interesting point, Griff. Where you're like, I can't necessarily control the people. Too much.
Yeah, totally. And I also think it's interesting, and I love this case because of it, that there's a male stripper, because nothing malicious happened. All of my friends were super well-behaved. Mind you, it was like very awkward. Having a stripper is like a weird, awkward thing. But I think I've been in a room where there's been a stripper for one of my buddies. I think a bachelor party. And again, I think the equivalent of the sausage slap was done in this situation where it was kind of like motorboating.
Okay.
Right? With the groom, the stripper went up and that was fun. And like, woo, we all were like, how crazy, you've probably never done that, which is not the case. But it's an interesting dynamic when it's a male stripper, because I think we've talked about this in crimes before. Like, it's just a totally different dynamic, totally different power dynamic. And I do mean that.
I mean, there are things like, even just because I've read this email now a bunch of times.
Yeah.
Even just reading between the lines of it, I can see differences.
Mm-hmm.
For example, seemingly this stripper arrived alone. Asked for a bathroom to change in. I was like, oh, this, if it were a female dancer, like, they absolutely would have had somebody with them. Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's vulnerable for like the guy. I mean, obviously,
I really think it is. I'm like, that makes me nervous for you.
Yeah. And the one that I was at, yes, there was like a manager or a handler or just like a bodyguard for the woman, which we all respect. And he was massive. Obviously, he would have fucked us up if we had even thought of doing something wrong. So, it's interesting that this guy wanders in by himself. I mean, he could still be there's like one of him and what, like six or seven other people? He could be overpowered. But I love that. I love that they requested firefighter and he just didn't come as a firefighter.
Okay, so that is where I feel like we really kick off our conversation here, which is that there seems to be, you used the word contract.
Yep.
Some missing expectation setting in just a big way.
Yeah.
And this being in a house call environment makes sense to me because, like, obviously, like, clubs are very, you know, there are rules around touching, when it's happening, how mm-hmm. it's happening, like, just making sure that everybody is safe. The house call, I mean, yeah, things are, we're already, like, off the rails from the beginning.
Totally. And if there's not someone mediating it, like, which is what happens with a lot of female strippers, assumingly, then it is kind of like the rules are, who's enforcing the rules here, right? I will say, firefighters are so hot. If we have any people that are firefighters or married to firefighters, I'm so jealous. I live next door to a fire station, and every Sunday, they bring out the football, and they toss it across the street to each other, and it's very, like, Top Gun, homoerotic, and they're all in uniform, and I'm like, oh, I've never really been around firefighters. I know that a lot of strippers dress as one. There is something very hot, pun intended, about a firefighter because they're putting their lives at risk. They have to be physically able to do the job. So oftentimes they're in good shape and they have that energy, which is like, I'm going to run head fucking first into a fire. So they're really like, just like aggressive in a way. So I fully get the request and hopefully the contract of this guy's going to be a firefighter. And the fact that Katie's sister-in-law is married to, or going to be married to one.
I'm cracking up over here because my brother and my brother-in-law are firefighters.
Kira, you can't sleep on this information.
So for my bachelorette party, that would be a misstep. I'm like, put on the G-string, please. I don't need to be scarred.
And you have a brother-in-law that's a pilot too, right?
Same brother-in-law.
Oh, God, Kira.
He's a pilot and then a firefighter.
That's unfair.
And the firehouse where he works has a female, like, chief.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's dope.
She's very strong.
Yeah.
And she has, like, different, yeah, there's, like, a whole bunch of things she can do that, like, none of the rest of them have the skills. It's very cool.
Oh, she's very badass. Cool. Love that. So, yeah, firefighter obviously missed the mark on dressing as that or just chose to. And that's where it comes into, like, play. Like, was there a contract? Like, Katie's sister-in-law, or sorry, no, Katie, who requested the stripper? Was it Katie or the sister-in-law?
I don't know. I think just like everybody. It seems like everybody was game for it.
Totally. So I wonder if the stripper just chose to ignore said contract or request or.
So can we just like make this job a little bit easier on ourselves and just say, well, tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Coming out in a G-string instead of the firefighter costume. To mm-hmm. me, I'm like a creative choice.
Yeah.
You didn't quite listen. Maybe your tips won't be so good, but I'm sort of like that part to me seems okay.
Yes, I think so too. I kind of side with the fact that I think the firefighter request was like dropped through the cracks.
Yeah.
That's like a really, I mean, that's one of the only requests you have and is a huge like quality part of being a stripper. Like they want you in costume. So I think that was probably like just overlooked because like to go from that to just full G-string's a big fucking swing.
He probably just had a busy night. A bunch going on. He was like, I don't know. I forgot my costume.
Yeah,
that part's
totally.
Fine.
But that's helpful in kind of our deliberation. I go out in West Hollywood all the time, and there's always go-go dancers on elevated platforms or stages. And oftentimes, they're wearing G-strings, underwear, that are padded, right? Like, it's not actually their penis. It's like a plastic or silicone insertion. And I think it's part of the allure, we're like, oh, is it real? Is it not real? And that gets us looking at them more. So we were encouraged to tip them. And it's all part of the kind of like mystery. But
yeah.
This guy, the stripper, gets naked, fully naked. So like, it's not clearly fake. It's his manhood.
And I think that is the beginning of where the real crime is.
Yeah, totally.
Which is, sounds like there was not mutual agreement about what would be seen and what would be experienced during this
totally
session. And like, I know there's some like element of surprise, obviously, with like the performance and everything, but I think the element, it'll be surprising no matter what.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody needs to have a conversation with the point of contact around like, well, honestly, I mean, this is not the same, but it is sort of the same. in my comedy career, I do a lot of private shows. Like, for corporate clients, mm-hmm. for birthday parties. Like, I've done a private show for the Red Sox, like, when they won the World Series, like, a couple years ago. And you ask the point of contact before the show, like, what are things we can and can't say during this show? The client always goes, say whatever.
Yep.
Be as dirty as you want. We want a crazy show.
Totally.
Like, I don't care. Whatever you want to do is fine. And you have to look at the client and go, can we say fuck? Can we say shit? Can we say this? Can we say that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the client, their eyes change and they go, no, you cannot say an F-bomb. We can't. We're New Balance Corporate. Please don't say that. And you go, okay, thank you. Can we say shit? And they go, no, you can't actually say that. So you actually have to, like, specify some things that might come up during the show. And that's how you find out what actually is and isn't acceptable.
That is such a good reference point, because if we transpose that to this, we can probably assume that whoever was booking this stripper was saying exactly what your clients initially say, which is like, we're here on a bachelorette party, whatever goes, we want the bride to be to just have a great time, which is easy to say. And this comes back to just the average human being more of a prude than they think. When someone who's performing
prude, they have boundaries that they probably aren't thinking about actively.
True.
Most of the time.
Yeah, true. I shouldn't say the word prude, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, when push comes to shove, they're going to be like, oh, what my idea of anything goes is not, A, what this person's thinking, and B, it's something I've never experienced. Like, this is, like, purposefully a sexual situation. Your comedy private shows are comedic, right? You have to be careful of what you say and maybe who you, like, make fun of or jokes. This is, like, sexual by nature. So if you say the bar is unlimited, you have to be careful with that. And you have to acknowledge that if you say that, this professional dancer is going to go to where you say he or she can go.
Yeah.
Yeah. We should focus on the person in the circle that was asked about the sausage slap, right? Because there was someone, when the stripper went up to this person, they were like, who in the circle would be okay with this?
Yeah, with a little smack.
Totally.
I think that was, like, undue burden to put on the person.
Totally.
I couldn't be less of an expert on this topic. I cannot emphasize this enough. But just, like, taking this all at face value, I'm like, if you're going to whisper something in somebody's ear, I think it needs to be, is it okay if I da-da-da-da-da-da-da, or work all of that out beforehand.
Totally.
Before you go to the bathroom and change, specify what some of the, like, highlights of your performance are going to be.
Totally. Also, like, I don't find that person who gave that, like, quick approval very guilty.
No.
And maybe we're jumping the gun here. Because it's, like, again, a heightened situation. You're part of a group that wants to have fun. You don't want to be the one that's like, meh, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Because then it's like, in your mind, you're like, everyone's going to think that I'm a loser and not fun. And so you're just, like, very caught off guard. And you say, sure. Like, you just kind of panic answer.
And she didn't even understand what was being asked of her.
Exactly, right? Yeah, a spank. Oh, you're right. You said a little slap, right?
Little smack, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I think I probably would have thought, like, a little, like, butt pat, too. Oof. But again, like, maybe the person who booked the stripper was like, no limits. And so in the stripper's mind, a little smack obviously meant a penis slap. But whoever was being asked obviously probably thought, oh, it's a spanking because there's got to be some kind of bar here, right? But no, there was not.
Yeah. I think it's time for a verdict.
Yes.
Would you agree? Okay. So in the case of the fire hose, is Katie, the girl who had to pick somebody to receive a little smack, is she guilty of a petty crime?
I say no. I think Katie was in a moment of panic, confusion, and it's a hyper-aggressive situation. I'm not saying the actions are, like, maliciously aggressive, but it's just, like, an aggressive environment, right? And so to be singled out and asked for, like, permission on behalf of someone else, I think Katie panicked. Katie panicked. So I don't find her guilty. because I think I would have also been like, oh, sure.
Yes.
Like in that situation.
Is the dancer guilty of a petty crime? And if so, what is the crime? Or what are the crimes?
I'm going to start by saying no, because their job is real. It's a two-part answer, classic us. Sorry about this. But no, because his job is to do X, or should I say triple X? Like to come into this group, make them feel uncomfortable. That's kind of part of it, to help her realize that this is the
voyeuristic.
Last, exactly. This is the last time that you're ever going to see another man's penis because you're getting married. Let's make this like a fanfare situation. So by nature, it's just a complicated job for them to have to figure out. And I think as you as a performer understand this, I definitely have examples of this. So partially no, I will say partially yes to the guilty. And what I will focus on is the fact that he singled out a person to give permission. And I understand maybe he was trying to keep it a surprise and keep the energy kind of shocking. I think if I were the stripper, I would have just turned to the group fully erect and been like, who wants a little slap? Instead of asking someone to individually give the approval for someone else. Does that make, you hear that?
I hear that and it does make sense.
Yeah, you lose some of the surprise and some of the targeting for the bride-to-be, but like at least you're opening it up to the group and giving them the opportunity to be like, I want that, that's fun. And at least build up. And if the bride wants it, maybe she can see her friend get it first. And I think that would have been the better approach.
Yep.
And then I will also say the group is guilty.
Of?
You hired a stripper. Whoever, I don't know who was in charge of booking it. I think that's not clear. Clearly wasn't acknowledging whatever contract or keeping the situation like controlled enough. I don't know who that is, but as a group, you invited a stripper in for a very specific experience and you got a very specific experience. I think there's some kind of, you have to kind of sacrifice something in stepping into the situation. And now you know. What did you expect?
I disagree.
Ooh, interesting. Tell me why.
I think that there's a missing party here, which is that whatever company, whatever LLC this dancer works for, there's a contract put in place. There's a booking service. There's a way this person got paid and got scheduled to be there and a point of contact and all of that. I don't think that there was, like, at some point, like, I just feel like there should have been something that they signed that said on it, like, this stripper will be, like, may be fully naked. This stripper may contact you with, like, points of their body, like elements of their nudity, like such as their member. Like, I mean, don't ask me the contract language on like hiring an exotic dancer, but like, I think that there is like, because they clearly were not anticipating anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel like in the moment was the time to work it out. And I don't think the onus is on the booking group. I think it's on the real professionals, which is the company that this dancer works for.
I hear that point. You might have just swayed me. But I guess my final kind of retort to that is like, what was the quality of the company that you went to? Because what you just spelled out is like, you said LLC, like, yeah, if it's like a proper, well-ran, well-oiled machine, then the contract would have been there, a handler would have been there, the communication would have been open. Maybe the group wanted to save and like chose a budget company that doesn't have these kind of steps in process, because we're both pretty business-minded, pretty logical. But sometimes you see one that costs $5,000 that's going to come with the bells and whistles that you just spelled out, or you see one that's going to be $500, which is doesn't come with those kind of benefits. So yeah, I've got a question, I guess, there. What was the quality of the company you went to?
Yeah, right. I mean, is it literally just like this guy?
Mm-hmm.
In which case, then he's got to have that conversation about what's going to happen.
Totally.
I mean, this is just fascinating. I think the most important thing is that, like, while it seems like people were caught off guard, nobody felt violated.
Mm-hmm.
They were just so surprised. I mean, I would love to hear from our listeners, because I'm sure there are gaps in our logic and our thinking and things that we just don't know about this industry. But Yeah. I mean, I feel like we've given it all we could.
Totally. And to your point, I think that's a great way to end the case. Like, this is a petty crime because no one left that situation feeling attacked or feeling really uncomfortable. They all walked away with a laugh, a story, and an awkward situation to talk about. That it's a petty crime because of that. It's a crime if it ended differently. This was really interesting. I have like so many thoughts.
I do too. Yeah, totally. Ugh.
Yeah. But if you're listening, help us out with those thoughts. If you've been to a bachelor or a bachelorette party and been put in a similar experience, like Kira said, maybe we're not thinking about something because I don't have that much experience with it.
I'm going to talk to my friend, Sarah Hester Ross. She's the new MC of the Magic Mike show in Vegas.
Oh.
And so I'm going to like find out like from her thoughts. Obviously, that is like
produced.
As corporatized mm-hmm. as this, you know, industry gets. But I mean, I'm sure the people like on their journey, on their come up would have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah. And I'm going to talk to your neighbor, Tiffany.
That's right. Find out the scoop. Griff, you ready for a little crim or min?
Ooh, I love the abbreviation on that. Yes, I am, Kira. Do you want to kick it off or should I go first?
You go.
All right. All three of these have been submitted by listeners, which is really exciting. They keep flowing in, so thank you, everyone.
Okay.
This one is submitted by Sheena. You're at a fill-yourself coffee station, and she says, like a Sheets. I've never heard of Sheets, but she says it's one of her favorites.
Oh, love a Sheets.
Oh, you know it. Filling up a coffee cup, you chug half of it and then fill the cup again. Criminal or minimal? Very similar to our Chipotle one, except you're not leaving the premise, which is bizarre. So yeah, criminal or minimal?
Hey, if you've got it in you to chug half a cup of coffee, more power to you. I say minimal.
I agree. You're going to be wired.
Yeah, your poor tummy lining. You're going to be hitting the back of that Sheets, that bathroom pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. You're going to have the Sheets for sure.
Ooh, okay. Buying a shirt, wearing it for one specific occasion, and then returning it, tag still on. Criminal or minimal?
Oh, my God. Yours are so brilliant. I love them. Minimal. Minimal if the return policy allows it, if the shirt is not like sweat through or like bled on. And if you're doing it for a budget reason, again, I feel like we're always circling back to budget friendly because we're on a budget.
Yeah.
No, minimal. Like it's not affecting the corporation so long as the product is returned, you know, relatively new.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, weddings do it. You rent a tux and you return it. I guess that's part of the business model, but
yeah.
I know like department stores have a pretty hefty return policy in terms of when you can, like it's pretty long. So yeah, I think minimal. If it's underwear, then don't do it. But if it's a shirt, yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah. And the next owner will be none the wiser.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's funny. All right. This one is submitted by Megan.
Okay. Hi, Megan.
It's a little bit of a mouthful, but I think it's good.
Cool.
You work on a team of three people. And each morning, one of them gets coffee for all three of you. The same person gets coffee for all three of you every
morning.
Same
person.
Yep. You put your 2-week resignation in because you're not enjoying the job anymore. And for your final 2 weeks, that same coworker doesn't grab your coffee in the morning, just his and your teammates after hearing about your resignation. Criminal or minimal?
Criminal. And I will not elaborate.
You look so offended.
That is rude.
That's petty, right? That's like the pettiest thing ever.
It's, you know what? People really show their true self when it comes to goodbyes.
Mm-hmm.
People that are not gracious during transitions, I'm like, then you're not gracious overall.
Totally. And I mean, it's no secret to the listeners. I work in a restaurant and I can't wait to not, but until I make it big, I have to. And it's always funny when you put your notice in at a restaurant and there are always like at least one or two servers that are like, oh, you hate it here? You hate our team? And they can't see the larger like context, like the job, how it's managed, like what money you're making. They just take it personally. And so they decide to, in this case, not get your coffee anymore because they take it personally.
Yeah.
So interesting.
All right. Ready for the last one?
Yes, thank you.
Giving feedback on kissing, criminal or minimal?
Ooh.
The visceral reaction.
Oh, I have to say minimal. Oh, so good. Like everything, I think it depends on how you say it, but I've definitely hooked up with people that are just not good at kissing, but I want to continue to hook up with them for other reasons. And so if it's something as minimal, pun intended, as that, coach them a little bit, make it sexy, be like, oh, I'd rather your tongue do this, or like open your mouth a little bit more. You know, you can like be sexy about the feedback and get to like your desired goal for the benefit of both of you.
I love more tongue and I love a little less teeth. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I love just so much less teeth. I love, you know what I love? I love when there's no teeth. I love when those teeth never ever bite down.
Yeah, literally. Or in that, yeah, it's like either, I mean, I hook up with people off of Grindr, so you can kind of say it via text, which is a little less personal and kind of less hurtful. But for me, it's like, I have the skill set to coach someone into what I want while doing it. That'll eventually get them to like be trained.
Yeah.
So, ooh, I'm going to say minimal, but like minimal with the right kind of energy behind that feedback or show them how to do it. Yeah.
Totally. Ooh, good ones, Griff.
This was a good ep. I can't wait to hear what people have to say. I feel like people will have a lot to say about it. Mm-hmm. And we're open to that.
Absolutely. Till next time, we love you. Keep listening. Keep recommending this podcast to friends. Like, we love the reviews, the word of mouth. We appreciate you guys so much. We're like working on getting our first ever sponsor. Maybe. We don't know. Could be cool.
Yeah.
You'll hear it first from us.
For sure. And you sharing us helps with that because you're giving us power and it's all down to you guys. So we really appreciate it, but keep it coming.
Yeah. Till next time. Stay petty.
Bye, Kira.
Bye, Griff.